Hello, everybody. Dr. Lonnie Stewart here from the Healthcare Education Transformation Podcast. Are you a physical therapy student about to start studying for the National Physical Therapy Examination? Or maybe you're a professor, a program director, or a clinical instructor who teaches DPT students preparing for the NPTE? Either way, we would recommend checking out our sponsor, NPTE Final Frontier, and the community they've built around preparing for and succeeding on the NPTE. That exam and the preparation that goes along with it can be long, tedious, difficult, and stress-inducing, but it doesn't have to be. NPTE Final Frontier has the tactics and resources to help address all of the usual barriers. They even have scholarships to help with NPTE study courses, FSBPT registration fees, and even research opportunities. And if that's not enough, they're even donating to the very first annual HET Podcast Scholarship to be awarded at the end of every year. Go to npteff.com for all of the details and use code HET for 10% off all purchases. Links to both the NPTE Final Frontier and their scholarship options are available in the show notes. And now, let's get ready to learn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Teach Me Something Tuesday episode of the Healthcare Education Transformation Podcast. This is part two of a three-part mini-series on the Teach Me Something Tuesday episodes, where we talk about increasing student engagement. I broke this down into three parts because each one can be used, for sure, to increase student engagement. However, it's three separate things you can do that I think will help not only student engagement, but your overall understanding of students, your connection, your networking, your relationships. And just overall, I think it'll improve your teaching skills as well. I think it's just things that are good to kind of know to do to increase your teaching skills overall. I know it's helped me. So today's mini episode, the second of a three-part series, is all about sharing what matters to you and backing it up and proving it, right? Walking the walk and talking the talk, so to speak. The first part of this mini series was all about sharing your social identity, right? And when you do that, I mentioned it's important to kind of state your mission statement, your North Star and your values, right? What's important to you, your core values. For me, I think service-based learning has always been an underlying theme in my life, right? I was always big on volunteerism. My parents just did it. They made me and my brother do it. We were brought up volunteering, not all the time. We didn't go on year-long missions or anything like that. But, you know, if the church had an event and we could help out, we would. My mom and dad gave countless hours to the school system that my brother and I went to. They really did a great job just showing us what it means to give and to volunteer and to really help people through that method of giving your time and your service and doing what you could, you know. And my dad served as a booster club president for many years, even an extra couple of years, another extra term when in theory he shouldn't have. He was done with his two terms, but they asked him to stick around and stay on for another one because they A, loved him so much, and B, nobody else wanted to do it for a lot of reasons, right? It's a hard job. It's thankless a lot of times. It's a lot of effort, and it was big shoes to fill, both figuratively and literally. So, you know, volunteering is not always something that's easy. It's not something that's really highlighted and spotlighted a lot of times, but I wanted to show my kids that volunteering was something that we should just do when we can, something we should really make a part of our lives. And I figured one of the best ways to do that would be to incorporate that into my job, into my 9-to-5. As a physical therapist, I was already helping people, right? That's my job. I get paid to do that. And I was so thankful and grateful that I could. However, as I also thought about teaching and transitioning towards teaching, when I was doing my dissertation, I did it on service-based learning. And I felt that physical therapy was such a great fit for service-based learning because I could teach you about the Berg balance scale in class during a lecture with a PowerPoint slide, or we could go out and do a community service project where we did balance and fall screenings for the elderly in our community for free, right? Where they would benefit because they could come down and get a free screening on their balance. And I could teach you the Berg balance scale and I could do it in real life, right? So I always just thought that service-based learning was a perfect fit for, you know, rehab sciences and the field of physical therapy and occupational therapy and speech therapy, because we were already doing that. We were already helping people. But if we could do it, you know, for underserved populations or for, you know, our community, then I felt like it was a win-win, because the school wins, the community wins, and the members in the community win, students win, and I win, right? Everybody wins in that situation. But if that was the case, then why were only 50% of the universities, DPT universities in the nation, using service-based learning? This was in 2018 at the time of my dissertation. And so I wanted to live it out. I wanted to continue doing as much community service and service-based learning as I could, so that it would, you know, kind of seamlessly go, and also back up what I preach, right? I'm trying to practice what I preach and show my students that, hey, I still volunteer. As I get older, as my kids get older, time is becoming very, very important to me, and I'm running out of that, right? I'm losing time to do the things that I love to do and to help out and to volunteer more like I was. I still kind of now have shifted my volunteering a little bit to help out with my son's Little League, to help out with my daughter's school. You know, like I said, time is becoming tougher and tougher for me to give out, right? My time is becoming tougher. So nowadays I, you know, have kind of shifted to volunteerism when I can, but also donating money to charities and causes that I would have volunteered to, but just didn't have the time to. So, you know, the business aspect has helped me out with that, which has been good. But the moral of the story, the takeaway, is if I put my values on display, it gives students the opportunity to critically engage with those values, right? I have a portfolio project in my geriatrics course where half of their labs are spent doing projects out in the community and interacting with a real actual people. And a lot of it is volunteerism, right? Whether it be Meals on Wheels or Habitat for Humanity, or they can choose whatever volunteer project they want, as long as it you know, fits the bill in the geriatric population. I'm doing it. I have my students doing it, and we talk about it. We reflect on it. We kind of talk about what we got from it, what we gained from it, what we learned, what could have been improved, what didn't go so well. So, you know, for me, it's really important that I teach it, right? I tell them about it. I show them, these are my values. This is what I believe in. I go out, I go home, I do it when I can, however I can. And then I also kind of show them that if you want to be that person, if you want to be a volunteer, if you want to be a leader, if you want to do those things and help out your community above and beyond just your 9-to-5, it's going to take a little more work and effort. It's not easy. And I think that by doing these things, they're starting to see that. It's also important, I think, to lead by example. So that's why I think it's important that not only do I walk the walk, but I talk the talk. You can put it in things and incorporate your values into simple things like your teaching philosophy, like your syllabus, in course assignments, right? Like my portfolio. And really just kind of figuring, if I back these values up, right, with course material or discussion topics, you know, it doesn't have to be high stakes, high impact, but like, if we're having touch points and we're talking about it and demonstrating it, this proves my commitment to my values and what I believe in. And it shows students that I really, truly do stand by what I say, right? I practice what I preach. So I hope that that will be of use to you. I hope that you'll be able to utilize these values and then the next step and backing up and showing that you do the things that show that you believe in these values. And again, I hope that that'll help students open up and feel like it's a safe place to come and talk about these things and these topics and these values, and then open up to how they can implement a lot of these values as well, not only in their student career, but in their professional career. So hope that was helpful. I hope you will start practicing what you preach and showing the students how you do that. There's several different ways to do that. And I will see you guys on the next one. Well, I hope that episode was entertaining as much as it was informational and educational. If you enjoyed this episode or any of our past episodes, we ask you to please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating and review. And please share out the episodes to those who you feel may be able to benefit from them. We also urge you to follow us on all social media platforms at HET Podcast, and let us know what topics or experts you would like to hear from in future episodes. And just as a reminder, none of the information on today's show should be considered medical advice. It's simply infotainment or edutainment to help educate our audience. For medical advice, we always advise you to reach out to your preferred medical professionals, and we'll see you on the next show.